What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Today on another chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online that, if listened to in reverse, will lead you to a full understanding of the Illuminati on their plans to take over the world. When an individual comes face to face with death, otherwise known as a near-death experience, they walk away with not only trauma, but a gift. A gift of listening, being able to hear the dead speak their truth from the other side, to anyone who can listen, including this tormented soul. That story and much more, today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, indeed it is. And the phone number, 855-853-4802. To call in, share your real ghost story with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You may be waking up at, you know, 3 a.m. going, I'm going to go to the, down to the fridge. I'm going to have me some of the chicken left. Ooh, I'm going to dip that in the yum-yum sauce. And you realize the yum-yum sauce is really not yum-yum sauce. It's just something that you've been put in there to store. It was kind of a bread-like product 8 weeks ago, and now it looks like yum-yum sauce. And you dip the chicken, and you're like, oh, and that's how it ends. You could end it like that, or you could just simply sign up to be an extra podcast person and get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Spend your time enjoying the ghost stories, not becoming a ghost.
So don't eat that yum-yum sauce.
Don't eat the yum-yum sauce. You never know exactly what... I've had that before. Have you ever had anything in our fridge where you open up the little container and go, not really quite sure what this is?
No, I haven't.
Well, you don't ever... Do you just not do that?
I just don't.
You don't want to play that game.
I don't like that game.
It's kind of a fun one sometimes.
No, it's
and it gets
not.
Even worse when you kind of like... You bet yourself... You want to touch it? And then will you taste it just to see if it's still...
No.
Or is it going to immediately poison you and you may end up on the floor convulsing?
Yeah, I don't like that game. I like the game of I eat the food that we usually get from the grocery store and that I know that I saw with my own eyes that we bought.
Oh, all those things are from the grocery store once. It's a matter of how decomposed is it and how edible is it into the decomposition process.
And that's why you need to get rid of some sauces.
I thought sauces lasted forever.
No, they don't.
I was wrong. Sauces don't last forever.
You have like five
And we have so many damn barbecue sauces.
Dijon.
I literally the other day. Now here's the other day. We were doing barbecue chicken out back, and I'm in the fridge, and I'm like, I know I have a bunch of barbecue sauces. Where are they? And then it clicked. Oh yeah, a couple weeks ago, I realized I had way too many barbecue sauces, and they were taking up like half of the fridge. So I put them in the other fridge out in the garage. So they have their own shelf in the garage now. And I'm like, oh, there's that whole section out there of barbecue sauce.
And now I just need to get like three more fridges.
We have far more refrigeration. We have far more refrigeration than I ever thought possible.
We need another fridge.
How many bodies we could stick in these fridges, kid?
That's horrible.
Oh my goodness. Body after body after body.
Don't be that dead cat lady on Hoarders.
And what kind of body are we talking about here? Are we talking about
cats,
cat corpses? So are we talking about a missing hitchhiker off the highway? Yeah.
Tasty.
Oh, this is why you're not supposed to watch Dahmer. Let's go to our first caller. Hi.
Yes, I'm not going to give name. Whereabouts? Do that. Angola. In Indiana. My mother moved into this house and my son was just born and he was 3 months old. While she moved into this house, I had to help her move her stuff out of the country into town. And I let her watch my son for the first time. And when I came, he has mittens, you know how you put the socks. First child, you go overboard with everything, and I kept mittens on his hands so he wouldn't scratch his face up and stuff like that with his, you know, fingers and nails. And he still had the mittens on his hands. When I got there, my mom was outside, and it was late. Not late, but, you know, getting dusk, it's getting more towards dark. And I told her, I was like, Mom, what are you doing? And she's like, I can't get him to stop crying. She goes, I walk up and down the sidewalk. He's fine. She goes, but as soon as I start heading up onto the porch and into the house, he starts crying. We didn't think nothing of it. And he had a scratch across his face. And I was like, how did he get a scratch across his face? He's got mittens on his hand. She's like, I don't know. Didn't think nothing of it. Time went on. My brother was a teenager, and he would, you know, hang out with his friends and sleep all day in the summertime. And he said he woke up one morning and threw the blankets off of his head because the sun was shining in through the window onto his bed where he's laying with his blankets over his head. And he started to get really hot. So he threw his blankets off his head, and right as he threw his blankets off his head, Mom's room is adjoined to his room. He got to exit out of her room to go into his room to go downstairs. And he said this huge cloud of smoke came right out of her room and flew into his room and down to the stairs. He said it was like a huge black cloud of smoke. And then my brother Trenton, for some reason, decided to mess around with a book to try to cast a spell for money. And it was just that. That's all he was trying to do. And he did it downstairs in the basement, and nothing happened. You know, he's still got to work hard to make a living in the world. But that's going to pop up later in the story. But my mom would have issues with the kitchen window. No matter what she would try to do, stick in it, whatever, it would keep opening up the kitchen window. And at night, she'd want the window closed because, you know, he's worried about people breaking house and stuff like that. She would keep closing the window, and she'd wake up and it'd be open. So she'd close it and she'd stick in it, and it just kept doing it. Like it persistently wanted the window open, and it always kept it open. Weird stuff started happening. There's like so much stuff. It was so long ago. It's probably about 15 years ago. My mom's friend moved in. And she has two teenage boys. And she had to work two jobs because, you know, she's trying to keep a roof over their head and food in their bellies and stuff. And her oldest was out you know, run around with his friends, and the youngest was home. And he called his mom one night, and he told her, he's like, Mom, they want me to kill myself. And she thought it was her older son and his friends picking on, you know, the baby brother. So she was like, put your brother on the phone. And he's like, Mom, it's not, you know, him. It's the things in the house. He's like, it's these spirits in the house. And it freaked her out a little bit. And she didn't think, you know, much about it. She just assumed, you know, maybe he's, you know, got an imaginary friend. He's too old for an imaginary friend. But she still, you know, scratched her head at it, not thinking what to do or what, you know. So he ended up, he said one time they were sitting in the living room and the mom come walking in from the kitchen into the dining room. It's a really old house, like it, where they have the separate rooms and you can pull the doors shut and stuff like that. And he was sitting there in the living room and she walked in there to ask him a question, and these vents were like huge vents. They're not like vents they have nowadays. They're like the size of a fucking small TV. You know, they're huge vents, metal vents. And he, while she was standing there talking to him, he said that he could see something coming out of the vent, and it was trying to, like, penetrate her or something, like, form around her, just something. It was trying to enter into her field, into her, you know, her domain, whatever you want to call it. And it couldn't. It was like she, and he said it looked like she had like a protection bubble around her or something, because it couldn't penetrate her sneaking up from the basement, because that vent like went straight downstairs, and but it couldn't penetrate her. So as it tried to slowly sleep out of this vent and try to surround her, and it wasn't working, it slowly just, you know, dissipated back into the vent, disappearing. And he's like, Mom, and you know, he told her about it. Well, there's so much stuff kept happening, you know, in this house. So she had a psychic come in and, you know, kind of do stuff. There was a guy upstairs in the closet that hung himself in that closet. That's what this guy said, that he, and this is the weird part about the book and my brother. He also was downstairs in the basement. He said there's a lot of portals downstairs in the basement. And he said, but there's one portal that was recently opened, and he needed the book that my brother used. And Tammy called me, and she was like, do you know anything about this? And I was like, oh my gosh. I was, you know, Tammy doesn't know this. This guy doesn't know this stuff. I know this. My brother Trenton knows this. Travis knows this. But nobody else knows this. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of weird that this guy knew this, and he's never even met us before. So I had to get that book and give it to her so they could close that portal. But as this man was sitting here walking around telling her, you know, all this stuff that's in the house, she was kind of floored by it, you know, like she could sense the stuff, but not to the intensity that this guy could. I don't know if he did it right, though, because, like, when my mom was living there, she was literally laying in bed at night, and she'd watch all these little orbs sit and play and chase each other in the corner and, you know, like, be all playful and stuff. And she said that there'd be this black cloud, which I think that's what my brother saw, in the corner of her room. And every time it poofed up, the orbs would stop playing. And then when, like, the cloud would settle back down, or not settle back down, but, you know, not be all poofy, like it was almost like yelling at him, like, knock it off, you know, like a parent does to a kid that's driving you crazy. She said she'd sit and watch his thing, and as soon as it would calm down, the little orbs would start playing again, and then it'd get all fucking poofy again, and then they would sit still like they were scared. And so, sorry, I got jumped around. Like, it's going to, the myth that stuff's going to come to me as it comes, you know, as I'm telling the story, because it's been so long. But the guy closed the portal, supposedly. Tammy lived in the house. She ended up taking off and taking her kids and moving out because there was still activity going on in the house. The weird part of it is that I was out working one day and I stopped. I saw this guy out on the front porch of the house, because I'm always driving by it, you know, tons of curiosity. Because even I didn't like it. When you walk into it, there's just something not right about it. You know what I'm saying? The vibration was off. It was just like almost like the place vibrated or something. But she moved out. This guy moved in, and as I was driving by, I saw him on the front porch messing with a kerosene heater, and I stopped, and I was just, you know, small chit-chat, and, you know, hey, what's it like living here? My mom lived here, and I just wanted to see what he would say without me, you know, starting up a woo conversation and get the ball rolling. I wanted him to, you know, start the conversation. And he told me his little kid kept poking his head out the door and peeking it back in, and it was cold outside. This little kid would not stay inside. He wanted to stay right there in the door frame of the front door and, you know, like be outside. But his dad was kept yelling him, get back in, but he wouldn't stop. Like, he wanted to be outside. And I kept seeing him and I was like, hello, you know, how you doing? And he'd go back in the house and shut the door and then open it back up and step back outside and, you know, being all bashful, you know what kids do sometimes. And he said, my son keeps seeing these dogs. And I was like, dogs? And he goes, yeah, and we don't have dogs. He said, first he called them cows. And I was like, cows? And he's like, yeah, and he's seeing these cows in the house, so he's kind of scared to stay inside the house because he keeps seeing these cows, you know, cow dogs. And I looked at him, and I was like, well, that's kind of weird. I was like, my mom lives here, and she never, you know, said nothing like that. And he goes, he sees a lot of stuff in this house. He's really scared to be by himself. He's like, I'm getting stressed out because he won't leave my side. Like, I can't do nothing. He will not leave my side. He's scared of that to go anywhere in this house. And I was like, that's kind of weird. And I started telling him, I was like, well, my mom, she's had a lot of spiritual experiences in here. And then her friend moved in and her and her kids had lots of, you know, spiritual experiences and stuff like that. And I was like, it's just really weird. And when that woman had that guy, when Tammy brought that guy over to do a reading in the house, he told her that this house, the one that they were living in, and the house right next door are connected, but they're connected underground. There used to be a tunnel that the two houses were connected. And he said the tunnel's been bulldozed, but the houses are still connected. Well, what's really weird is that after this guy tells me all this stuff, you know, that his son's seeing stuff like that, I went and talked to somebody, and they said that those were considered hellhounds. What the boy was seeing were huge dogs, and they're, I guess, supposedly considered hellhounds. I guess the portal to this house is not, it cannot be closed, because that psychic, I think he did what he could, but he couldn't do everything that he could. And he ended up just doing what he could. But what's really weird is that I drove by, it's probably been a year after I talked to this guy, and the two houses that psychic man come in and said that they were connected, whoever, I don't know what possessed them, it had to be someone living in the house being coaxed by the spirits of the house, but they literally combined the two houses. They literally built a huge house in between and combined that two houses that the psychic said that they were spiritually connected. And I thought it was really weird. Before the houses were connected, they were both abandoned after that guy moved out. The one next door had always been abandoned when my mom was living there, when Tammy was living there. And but the two houses were combined. And I thought it was really weird. And I wandered inside this house. The one next door, because it had been busted into, and it had been empty for so long that people were breaking into it and stuff like that. So I went into the house, and it just, I don't know. It could have just been because it was all beat up and creepy looking and stuff like that, but just something wasn't sitting right with it. But I had to call and tell you guys about these two houses. It's over by a school, in Angola, Indiana, called Henry Park. But I just thought it was really weird that here it was, you know, a year or two later, and the psychic said that they were connected. And then they turn around, and whoever, I swear they had to be, you know, like, moved by the spirits in that house to combine them two houses, because who else is going to buy these two really old, beat up, junked up houses and then spend the money to combine them. I don't know. It's just something. And every time I drive by there, it just keeps blowing my mind that they combined them.
I'll tell you who would buy those houses. Hey, Mom and Dad. Little Timmy and Little Susie want one thing for Christmas this year. No, it's not a Furby. No, it's not the latest video games. No, Mom and Dad, Little Susie wants a hellhound. Don't you, Little Susie?
Yeah.
Little Susie can get a hellhound for Christmas with only 4 easy payments of $89.99 when you visit your local Petco. Hellhounds are in for the season at Petco.
I wonder what... Okay, so what hellhounds are described to be is like a cow dog?
A hellhound?
Yes, a hellhound. That's the description that I was given.
Within the call?
Yes.
That's how she was kind of describing it, but I don't believe...
Dog. I don't want to see images of this. Okay, I kind of do.
Hellhounds.
Just go to images.
There's variations on it, the take of it. It almost, it's kind of like lionish body with a dog. But I don't know. There's all different. It depends on the artist's interpretation.
Wolf? Wait, no. Wolf, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, wolf-like, red eyes, evil, and much stronger, I think.
I wonder how nice it would be.
Huh?
I wonder, like, how friendly it would be.
Well, I think that probably by nature it's not, considering it's called the hellhound.
I wonder how hard it would be to tame it.
To tame a hellhound?
Yes.
It would be, that sounds like it would be one of the new, theme for one of these 50,000 Marvel movies or something, where it's like Iron Man, Taming of the Hellhounds.
Iron Man died.
He's dead?
Yeah.
He'll come back to life somehow.
I hope so.
They'll find some.
They really didn't do good killing off that character. It was like really quick. I don't need to dive into that.
I don't have the time and I don't even know. And I don't really want to know, actually. But
why?
Because I don't have the time to understand the universe of Marvel because I'm a grown-up.
Oh, boy.
And I do things. I don't know. It's something that just never has been, I don't know, an interest of mine. Maybe I don't know. Even things I am into, I don't know that intricately. Like, I don't know the passenger list of Titanic anymore. I knew when I was like 8 or 9, I knew a good portion of it.
Because that's when you had the most free time.
Exactly. But the thing is, and I get it when you're a kid and you know all that stuff. I do not get it when you're like 45 and know all that stuff. And it's like, either you have a lot of free time, which bravo to you, if you can have that much free time and get by, cool. But if it's like, you really should maybe reappropriate some of your time for something else. If you know that much, I don't know. It's just my thoughts. Let's go to another letter here on the program. It says, "Hey guys, it's Brooke from Ontario, Canada again. I sent the story about the lady who sees my husband like a son and was not too happy about us making out in the couch. I don't have much more on her except for I think she might be behind a couple of attacks I had on me. First off, I'm a lucid dreamer. I've been lucid dreaming now for many, many years. I didn't realize it until a friend of mine was telling me about how she was trying to do it. I've never tried the whole astral projection thing where you float up and out of your body, as that freaks me out. When I do lucid dreaming, I tend to wake up alert to my surroundings. Anyways, when my husband had found out we were getting our first apartment together that night, I had a strange dream about a woman following me around. It then started trying to come on to me, trying to convince me that it was my husband. Well, fiance at that time. When I told her to leave me alone and that she clearly wasn't him, she got mad and glared at me. I felt like she was trying to push the breath from my lungs. I woke myself up angrier and afraid because really, don't mess with the girl's sleep. When I woke up, I was lying face up and could see nothing was above me. I couldn't talk, but I could move. And you turned on my side to face the room and mouth, "Get the hell out." Finally getting my voice after saying that a few times of mouthing it, I finally said super angrily, "I don't care who you are or what you want. If you're here to cause any harm to me or my family, get out now. Go to heaven or hell or wherever you belong, but you don't belong here, and get out." I was so mad it took me about a half an hour to fall back asleep. It happened to me one more time after we had moved with the same outcome. The reason why I think it was her is that although the dreams are still crystal clear in my mind, she is fuzzy. I'll tell you one quicker story, as this is longer than I meant for it to be. A man I called my grandfather had moved in with us as he had cancer. He was a cowboy through and through and had one leg due to a logging accident when he was in his mid-20s. He would be up and passing away in his bed at home from a heart attack in his sleep. It devastated me as he and I were really close. A few years after that, I had to come home late at night to see the figure of a man sitting unit big, overstuffed rocking chair by the front window. At first, I thought it might have been him coming to check up on me, and whoever it was had a cowboy hat on, and that was one of the signature things my grandfather wore. I looked at the shadow person and asked if it was him. No reply was forthcoming, so I went about taking my shoes off and flicked on the light. I see no one was there, so I turned it back off, and lo and behold, shadows are back. I got really freaked out for no reason and decided to head upstairs to my room. When I realized that I was being followed up the stairs, I started quickly heading to my room and shut my door. Every time, until I had moved out with my husband a couple years later, when I came home at night, I'd see him and be chased up to my room. Never really thought of it as a shadow person, but I guess that may be what it was. I know a lot of stories lately talking about the correlation between lucid dreaming and sleep paralysis. When you're lucid dreaming, you're awake and you're aware in your dream. And sleep paralysis is when your brain is awake but before your body. It makes sense. People who lucid dream are more prone to sleep paralysis. Sorry for such a long email. Have a great day. You guys are always awesome. Thank you.
Back to that lucid dream topic. I used to lucid dream that we were in a Lowe's.
You would lucid dream that we were in a Lowe's.
Because we would go there so frequently.
Mm-hmm.
That I was like, we were like, the wood's there. The pottery and stuff is over there. Da-da-da-da-da. And so I would dream that I was walking through like a Lowe's or a Sam's Club of some sort.
Hey, I hear you. Well, you know, when I was a kid, we would go to the mall very, very frequently. And I would have dreams that I was in the mall because it was a place that my mom specifically would frequently be taking me. So it's no different than that. It's just you were at a Lowe's and not a mall, because a lot of times there just wasn't a mall.
I wish it was a mall, not a Lowe's, because I don't like Lowe's that much.
Oh, Lowe's are wonderful.
They're not.
They're wonderful places for...
It's where the toilet is overflowing with
junk. You know, they've gotten better at that. They have.
Not in the women's restroom.
Really?
Really.
When's the last time you were in there?
Last time we were there.
And it was bad?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say the men's has very much changed. Because here's the backstory. It was, I don't know, like about a year ago. There's a Lowe's that we frequently go to. And I noticed like the restroom quality was getting worse and worse. And I get it. It's a hardware store. Like maybe I'm just hitting it at a weird time of the day, whatever. And then one day I'm in there. Literally, it's like right after they opened. And there really wasn't many people in the building. I go into the restroom and I don't think they cleaned it at all the previous night, but it was like worse than truck stop abandoned truck stop almost.
Mannequins, I mean, in the bathroom.
Like
stop.
Everything is like overflowing. There's literally feces wiped on the stall walls. It was like, oh my God, this is like a health hazard to even like allow your customers to go in here. And I went over and I asked one of the guys, I said, are you aware of what your men's restroom looks like? It's like, well, they didn't clean it yet. I said, I don't think you should let anybody in there right now, personally. I said, it's probably a health hazard. I mean, there's like literally stuff on the walls and it's like dripping everywhere. And it's like, it's not my job. And he walks away. It's like, okay. I'm just trying to be like nice citizen here. Like, hey, you might want to do that because it's like, you know, I could like run out there and be like, oh my God, I'm going to go all over, you know, Reddit or something or on your review sites. Like, no, I'm just like, hey, you might want to do that. But then when I get the, not my job, I'm like, okay, I'll talk about it in my podcast that reaches, you know, 50,000 to 100,000 people.
Want to share the car wash story?
No, I'm not going to do that. Well, actually, yeah, you know what?
Let's do it. Since
we're talking about consumer affairs here as we wrap up the ghost show. So we're at a car wash the other day, and I was trying this new one out because it's a more conveniently located one for me than where my other one was. And I have a lot of bird poop on the front of my window because it's summer and it bakes. So, you know, you go to the car wash, you expect at a minimum they're going to kind of help wash your car. So I go there, I try to get the membership, and he says, like, give it to an attendant. And I see an attendant, so I give him this receipt thing. Where'd you buy this? At the machine right over there. Well, who sold it to you?
The machine
right over there. I just press the button. And he like storms away from me. I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on here, by the way.
Like 30 minutes later, he comes back with a sticker for the thing.
And then he's like, I got you. You go over there. So I go in there. And I wait about 30 minutes to get the little, you know, sticker thing. Okay, great. It's like, I just wanted to get in and out of there really quick. So I'm like, all right, we can go get this done. Get into the wash itself. Go, like, there's no attendant that's supposed to be there with the little gun, you know, that kind of like shoots everything extra. And I bought the package where it's like, do everything to the car. And nobody's there. I'm like, okay, well, maybe the machine's strong enough and it'll get all that stuff off. Go through. No, not at all. So I go back around and I see one of the people. I'm like, hey, can you help me? You know, can you get that, you know, the bird poop off there? And then he tries. He's like, yeah. And he does it like a very half-assed job on one side of the windshield, not the other. I'm just like, God. Like, okay. I'm just like, I really wanted the car to be clean for that night. And normally I would just keep going. But I'm like, okay. I just want to make sure that the car's freaking clean. So get through again. I'm like, okay, I gotta go back because it's still really bad. Go back around. And I said, hi. He's like, what do you want this time? I'm like, because that's always the best way to answer a customer. I said, hi. I just wanted to get my car clean. I know there's bird poop on here. It's not coming off. Just going through the thing. What's what it is here? That's what's what we do. Like, well, I know that, but they got the gun up there. He's like, well, he just shot that at for you. Yeah. Yeah, he did. But he only kind of did one half of the windshield and it still is not there. I mean, he's like, that's not our job. Not our job. Like, what? What's not your job? Like, it's a machine that does it. I know, but it's a car wash. Like, and if that's not working, what? I mean, is that not part of what you do? Like, literally? Because I see, like, most of these car washes, that's what they do. Like, tell you what. I'm going to go above and beyond, and I'm gonna get a rag, and I'm going to wash it. Okay, thank you. So, but it's not, I ain't getting paid extra for that. Okay. Well, thank you.
And I go through, he kind of ranks it a little bit, and then it's still like not good.
So we just decided to go.
We left. Like, and I called him, like, I'm done with this little membership here. This did not work. And I think I don't know what the hell's going on with that company, but there's been like a total like beret on them in the last couple of weeks, with like their washers like breaking down and scratching cars left and right. And I don't know. It's like, I feel like that company might be imploding, but
yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, there's a non-ghost story to wrap up the program for you for today. All right. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. I greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.